It is another Saturday morning in CCU land when we talk cars, more specifically the problems you might be having with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or dealer, but you want to know ahead of the time what could be ailing. All you have to do is give Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. He's on the air right now. You can call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have on your mind. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's Automotive? I was there a few days ago, as a matter of fact. I think things are going quite well.
Yeah, no, we're busy as always, which is a good thing. Just trying to keep people on the road and getting ready for a week of interesting weather, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's going to be a real mixed bag this coming week. I was just thinking, in all the times I visited Lloyd's, in fact, my son had his oil and filter changed, and he said, come on along. So I rode along with that guy to Lloyd's. But, you know, what I wanted to mention is every time I've been there and I'm hanging around and talking to the guys and people are coming in, dropping off their cars, picking up their cars, whatever the case, nobody's grumbling. I don't know what magic you have there, but usually when you think of, oh, I got to get my car fixed, I don't know what's wrong with it. It could be this, could be that. People come in real friendly like. Is it just the neighborhood or what magic are you guys spreading there?
I think you might bring the magic when you bring the donuts and it puts a smile on the guy's faces.
It's sugar that helps.
No, we're in a good spot. We have a great neighborhood, a great community. You know, Lloyd's has been there since like 1947, I believe. Okay. So it's a staple. You know, I've been there since 1998, and you know, you'd see people would come in with their young kids, and then now their kids are growing up, and now their kids are having kids. You know, when you do things long enough, you start to see this stuff, and it's amazing how people even move away from the neighborhood, and they still come back to see us just because we evidently do the right thing or try to do the right thing and treat them fairly and be honest and explain the best that we can, and it seems to be working out.
No, it really does. We're waiting for more calls to come in or text message, whatever's easier for you, 651-461-9226. I'll tell you what, maybe we should get a couple of things, because they came in earlier this morning. One is something I wanted to ask you about, and the other is something I've never had to deal with. Somebody basically wants to know, let me see if I wrote this down, camshaft position sensor. Tell me what that is and what does it do and what kind of problems, if any, can it cause?
So, you know, we talk about this indirectly quite often. People ask about timing, right, and their timing chains and their timing belts. And so, like I've said, there's sensors that tell the computer what's going on. You know, the computer doesn't have a little window to look what's happening inside the engine. So these sensors, for example, this camshaft sensor tells it the degree in circulation where it's at. So therefore, it knows how to give it fuel, how to, you know, make the coils create spark, puts the vehicle in time, so therefore it can run properly. So if one of these sensors isn't working properly, the car's not going to run well. And if the sensor were to fail, the car might not run at all. So if you're having a check engine light and you're taking your car in, they're saying something related to part of one of these systems, keep in mind, depending on what happens, it could leave you stranded.
Is that an issue you and your crew sees at Lloyd's often as far as a problem, like with an engine light on?
Well, we'll see. Depending on the make and the model, certain vehicles have had issues with the sensors themselves. But sometimes you'll see like a correlation code that will get brought up, meaning that things are not in sync. And oftentimes that can be because something has changed. Maybe the timing chain has aged. Lack of lubricant, lack of heat protection has caused it to stretch a little bit or wear a little bit, which when that happens, things will be out of sequence a little bit. The computer doesn't know why, it just knows that it is. So therefore, it'll turn the light on and say, hey, I have some problems with the input from this, so therefore I can't do my job giving spark and giving fuel at the right time.
There's a tire. I'm looking at another text, 651-461-9226. By the way, as I always like to mention, any call or question should be earlier, sooner rather than later. Nick will be with us just for about another 30 minutes. Goes by so quickly. And we'd like to help as many people as we can. So if you want Nick to give your vehicle a little analysis over the radio, don't wait. Call us or text us. You can call, yeah, if you want to chat with Nick, or if it's easier, send him a text, 651-461-9226. Tire question. They're throwing a bunch of numbers here. 245/50/20. 245/50/20. Tires. What is the difference? What do these numbers mean anyway? Maybe we could explain that.
Yeah, for sure. The first three digits is a metric measurement of the aspect or the width of the tread of the tire. So going across the crown of the tire, there's a length there. 245 would be 245 millimeters. If it's a 195, it's 195 millimeters, and so forth and so on. Then there'll be a little backslash, and then another number like a 40, a 55, 60, some sort of two-digit number, and that's a ratio, like a percentage of that width. It's how tall the rubber on the tire is. And then there'll be an R for radial, and the last number is the size of the wheel. So it's like a 16, 17, 18, 19, even 20 in some cases. So you'll see like a 245/50R18. That's the width of the tire, the height of the aspect, the side of the, you know, the sidewall of the tire, how tall that is, and then the size of the wheel. Most of those numbers should not be interchanged, meaning when you open the driver's door of your vehicle, there'll be a little placard there. It'll tell you the size of the tire that should be on the vehicle. That is the size of the tire you should put back on the vehicle. So sometimes people will be like, well, I can find a similar size that's less money. Can I use that? No, you cannot. Lots of reasons. You know, the transmission ratio, the computer system's design and expects that tire size to be there. You know, kind of like we're talking about those cam sensors. Same thing. The car can't see the tire, but it's just programmed to know what size is there. So it knows how to shift the transmission and do all these different things. So we want to make sure that we use the same tire that's designed for the vehicle.
I remember several years ago taking my, at the time, a vehicle into Lloyd's for an oil change, and then we talked about rotating tires, and this is something I learned. I didn't know at the time, but you guys told me about it. The front tire, the rear tires are different size than the, you know, the front and back were different. Now, why is that? I can't remember the reason.
Well, there are some vehicles that they'll have a different width or height of a tire in the rear versus the front. That's not as common as it used to be. We will also see, just keep in mind, there are some tires that are directional, meaning that they're designed to be going down the road in a certain direction. So when you rotate the tires, you can only rotate them front to rear. You can't go side to side, because when you do that, you flip the whole wheel and the tire would be going backwards down the road, not the way it was designed. So you have to be careful sometimes when you look at these things, because it can be a little overwhelming, but, you know, obviously this is what we do and we know how to handle it and manage it. But like I said, years ago, and there are probably still a few more on the road now where they actually had different size front to rear. So you have to be careful of that. And directional tires are another thing you want to keep or pay attention to, because when you're rotating those tires, you don't want to put them on the wrong side of the vehicle.
Interesting. Directional tires. And Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Again, let's invite our listeners to join in. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. 36 degrees in the Twin Cities. Looks like kind of a wet rain, snow mix, a couple of days, 2.5 days or so. We'll have a look at that forecast in a few minutes here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. I have been doing this for almost 30 years or so. Denny Long back with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Nick, again, we always like to tell folks who maybe are not familiar, if you want to find out more, maybe they need some help from Lloyd's. How do we find you guys?
Yeah, for sure. If you have a question, need some advice before you make an appointment with your shop or dealership, we always are willing and able to give you some advice. So you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand Avenue, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. And as always, please check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Absolutely, and we'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Any problems with your vehicle? Love to hear from you. 651-461-9226, or really any kind of a car care question, either by phone or by text. Another text, Nick, related to a 2015 Subaru Outback and a 2019 Forester. So a couple of Subaru questions. How often should the front and rear differential fluids be drained and refilled?
That's a good question. It's one of those services that might be overlooked from time to time. And you know what my answer is going to be? Check the owner's manual. There's a maintenance schedule in there. And they all kind of vary depending on what type of fluid. Some might be 30,000 miles. Some might be 60,000 miles. I don't think there'll be much more than that. But check the owner's manual. Most of them are between 30,000 and 60,000 mile interval. The reason we do it is a lot of debris, it collects some dirt. We want to keep good clean fluid in there so those bearings aren't getting gummed up with debris, you know, with that contaminant. So follow the interval. Please do your maintenance. It'll really help your vehicle stay on the road healthy and happy.
Yeah, we were so lucky, I think, so fortunate to have vehicles that we get in there, start the car, take off. And it works. It works every day. It works every night. And we kind of get lulled into complacency that and we forget. I do, too. I just checked the oil yesterday on my vehicle. I thought I haven't done this for a while. Anyway, looking at another text, the backup camera on my texter says 13 Kia Sorento is not working. The alarm sounds are working. Caution lines show on the display. Do you have any idea what happened? The backup camera is not working.
From my experience to this point on the backup cameras, you know, it's likely the camera itself, depending where it's mounted, if it's within a hinge point, meaning if it's on the gate opens and closes, it's possible that the wiring at that pivot might have become damaged. So when you take it in, you know, the other warnings are working because the sensors are still picking up any movement or anything in the way. So that's a good thing, obviously, but you can't see what it is. So I would, when you go in next time for service, mention that they can check any kind of wiring, see any potential frays or damages there, but likely it's going to be the camera itself.
Okay. Again, 651-461-9226, looking at more texts coming in. Here's another one. If I found a small tear in the boot of my F-150 front caliper and it's not leaking, does that mean I should replace the caliper?
Well, the dust boot doesn't keep the fluid in, but what it does do is keep all the dirt out. So it is possible, depending on the mileage, the condition, and you know, a visual inspection, that somebody could possibly remove the boot and replace it. It is very well possible. Depending on how much grime and dirt's got in there, you know, I often use this example, like with the CV axle also. Once that boot is torn, if it's been a period of time, it's really hard to get all that, you know, dirt and grime out of there. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a dirty wound. It doesn't, you know, it stops it, but it doesn't really protect the damage from continuing. So upon inspection, somebody could probably advise you, oh, this looks good and clean. We could put new boots on there or new hardware in there. That'll be fine. Or this has been torn for a long time. The grease has kind of worked its way out. I think we should probably replace the caliper as a whole. So you don't, and especially with braking systems, you're probably going to want to be cautious and kind of favor the way of best practice versus chancing it.
Yeah, safety feature for sure. Interesting question. Then we're going to have a look at that weather forecast. Here's a 2010 Ford Fusion 3-liter V6. Texter says, I have a check engine light that's been coming on and off for a month. It says number one cylinder fuel injector is bad. Why would it come on and run rough and then quit flashing? And it runs fine every other time you start it. Now, my brother talked me into running a couple of containers of fuel injector cleaner through it. Now it ran fine every start for a whole entire day. What do you think? And the check engine light has gone off for the first time in a month. Would you say that's the stuff they put in it, or is it coincidental? What's your guess?
Well, it depends on what was wrong. So here's a misconception. We get a fault code, and no code can tell you what part is broken. It's telling you it's not liking something. So, for example, in this situation, he said the code said bad injector. Well, was it a functional code or was it a circuit code? A circuit code would tell me there's something electronically wrong. You know, it's not seeing the correct amount of current. It's not seeing a good ground. It's a short. It's an open. Something along those lines. If that's the case, there's no chemical that can fix that, right? It's a replacement of a component or a connector or some sort of connection there. If it's a functionality where it's not getting enough fuel, or maybe there's something's plugged or restricted, can something, a cleaner, help clean that out? For sure it can. I suspect that there's probably something wrong with the injector. You know, give it more than a day. Oftentimes when you see that light flash and stopping, it's because the car identifies that misfire, that, you know, it considers itself a catastrophic misfire, so it shuts that injector off. So the computer says, something's not right here, I'm going to shut that cylinder off. Now, that's a temporary moment to get you somewhere. You can't keep driving like that because the engine's not designed to be running on not all the cylinders. Things are out of balance. It's creating other issues. So if the light's coming on and flashing, you're supposed to stop the vehicle and have it towed in or get it to a shop immediately. If the light is on, it's running fine, make an appointment, you know, with your convenience. If the light is on, it's running rough, you need to get it in sooner. So kind of three different phases: on, running well, make an appointment that works with your schedule; on, running rough, you need to get it in quickly. If it's flashing, that's an immediate right now, not tomorrow, not next week. You need to get it in because all you're doing is creating potentially more repair, which costs more money.
Yeah. Watch that flashing for sure. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break for weather. Again, if you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, as usual, answering any kind of a car care question you may have this Saturday morning. Let's see, Nick, bunch of text messages, and let's see we can how many folks we can help before you leave here in a few minutes. Texture says this: because so many of the new cars now run turbochargers, what are some tips to put on the life of, how do we keep that turbocharging healthy?
The biggest and most important thing is change the oil. I know we talk about it pretty much weekly, but honestly, we see so many repairs that I feel they're unnecessary due to oil-related issues. So, you know, follow that interval, good quality oil, good quality filter, that will keep the engine and the turbocharger happy for years to come.
All right, very good. This listener says, I put slightly larger tires on my 99 Jeep Grand Cherokee. I know that this would be a problem if I ever put it in four-wheel drive, but I kept it in two-wheel drive. But a week or so later, I started hearing a loud whine and then a bang, and now a noise that sounds like a broken chain clunking around in the transfer case. I had it towed, but what happened? Is the transfer case involved in a two-wheel drive? What do you think is going on there? Just your guess.
Well, I'm wondering if they're saying that they put different size tires from front to rear. And that's a big no-no, because what happens there is, even though you don't have it engaged, all those components are still rotated and spinning. And when the sizes of the tires are different on any four corners, they're turning at different speeds, which creates more friction, more heat, and can damage components. So it's a real big no-no to have a different size tire on any one of the four wheels, or even front to rear or left to the right. They need to be all the same size, because it will create excessive wear quickly and damage something quickly.
All right, another text just in. Hello, is the cooling system flush using a machine still used? What do you use to flush a cooling system, Nick?
You know, that's harder to do on many vehicles. I would say most cases now it's a drain and fill, depending on what component you're replacing. There's a lot more hoses, and we're using coolant in a lot of other areas, so we don't want to necessarily force coolant somewhere where it wouldn't naturally go. So We like I said, depending on the repair or the service, you know, you're emptying the reservoir, you're getting the radiator, a lot of times most of the engine, but some of these other hoses and passages might not get cleaned out always. But with the drain and fill of the cooling system on a, you know, annual, or not annual, but a every so many mile basis, depending on the vehicle and all that, is probably a good maintenance and it'll prevent from any additional issues.
All right. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I believe Lee's calling in from Zimmerman, Minnesota this morning. Thank you, Lee. What is your question for Nick?
I have a 1998 Chevy Cavalier. It was owned by my father-in-law. He lived in Arizona. He come up here to Minnesota, and when the temperature's below freezing, the car will turn over, but it won't start. I Googled everything. If you leave the key on and the accessory like run for 20 minutes, then the car will start. I Googled everything, and it's got something to do with the power getting to the ECM, and it has to wait or build up or something. You ever heard of that before?
I have not. I'd have to think about that. You know, you've done all the diligence. You get onto Google, and obviously you find a lot of good and bad information there. I don't know why we'd need to power up where, you know, unless there's something like a fusible link or something like that is damaged, not allowing the current through. You know, honestly, what we would do is get the voltmeter out, start checking powers and grounds. Obviously, if you have a cold enough day here, obviously things are warming up. But if you have a cold enough day soon, maybe get on somebody's schedule that's able to kind of dissect that and figure out where we're losing power, because obviously you turn the key on, the vehicle should start.
All right, very good. Thank you for the call. Let's see, where did we leave off here? Recently, Texas says, we took a driving trip to Florida. Anyone that has driven to Florida knows you sit at a lot of stoplights for a long time. In the old days, when you sat at lights for a long time in hot weather, you would slip the transmission into neutral to keep it cooler. With newer cars, do you think that's still something that makes sense, or was it ever a good idea to put it in neutral? Good question.
It's not necessary for sure. Cars have come a long ways. You know, when you go years back where maybe they were trying to put a big fan on the front of the motor and trying to cool everything down, now they've got it pretty well figured out. You know, not only are they trying to cool it, but they're trying to keep things warm also at the same time. You know, they want to get to that sweet spot and keep the temperature there always for the transmission, the engine, emissions, fuel economy. So I think you should just follow the owner's manual, drive the vehicle as you should. When you come to a stop, you know, there's no need to do anything other than to sit and wait for the light to turn green.
That must be your latest technician that you just hired.
Yeah, that's Afton. She's been fed. She's been outside. But, you know, clearly she's a growing puppy, so she thinks she needs two breakfasts, but she's not going to get two.
Now, she is, I can't remember it's a neat breed, but it's a big one.
It's a Bernese Mountain Dog. She was born December 20th. We got her on Valentine's Day, and she was like 13 and a half pounds. And she's probably pushing 30 pounds already. She gains, it seems like, a half a pound a day. So she's a good girl. We're figuring things out.
A great personality, I bet, though. Huh?
Yeah, she's pretty chill, except for she's always hungry. So we're working through that.
Well, I'm with her. All right. Let's see who else. We just put new rotors and brake pads in my 2000 Buick LeSabre. After I drive a short distance, they make a howling sound. We were told that we need to grease the ends of the new pads. Is this what our problem could be? I don't know if my friend did it when I replaced the pads. What about lubrication on a new brake job?
You should put lubrication in the right spots. Now, when they're saying the ends of the pads, they're talking about the portion that's riding in the caliper that's sliding. You'd never put any lubricant on the wear parts. You know, if there's a noise coming between the contact point of the rotor and the pad itself, that means that there's some sort of imperfection there. Maybe you need to scuff up the pads or scuff up the rotors a little bit to let them re-brake in. But the slide points should be lubricated. You know, the back of the pad, where the caliper piston makes contact, and the parts of the pad that slide in the caliper as they apply and release should be cleaned and lubricated.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm getting a signal that we probably should start moving on here and make way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. Now, again, Nick, for those that want some help from Lloyd's Automotive, give us the lowdown, if you would.
Absolutely. So if you do have a question, need some advice, you can always reach us, 651-228-1316. And as I always say, if you're on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand, yellow brick building, green awnings. And finally, please do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. Thanks for the help as usual. Have a good week, and we'll do this again next Saturday. What do you say?
Sounds like a date.
Good deal. Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul.